This verse is Prabhupada Saraswati's immortal classic, Radharas Suranidhi. This is Radharani's month, Kartik. And I was making the point the other day, which I really like. It's an interesting idea that the Kanyakumaris, they wanted to attain Krishna, his mercy, his love, his seva, his sangha, as his putnis, his wives. So they worship Krishna in Krishna's month to attain Krishna. Krishna's month is Mrigashirsha. Mrigashirsha aham. Krishna says in Gita, among months of the year I am November, December. So we want to attain Krishna, so this is his month, so he must be favorable, must be available in the month of November, December. So they did, they worshipped, and then he appeared there in Purnima with Radharani. Or he didn't come. Radharani was invited by those sakis, those kanyas. Please come with us on Purnima and bathe with us. So she did. And then that day when she went there, then Krishna came. So that was pretty clever that somehow Yoga Maya gave him the idea. Okay, you've been worshiping me for 29 days, but now you, on the last day of your breath, you should invite Radharani. Then surely you'll get perfection. If Radharani's there, somehow there, present in your bhajan, you'll be successful. Kunamai Radha ki jai. So they understood that. We are not particularly interested in having vilas with Krishna, but we want to attain the service of Radharani at Radhakund and also in the groves of Vrindavan. Her month is Kartik, Kartiki Devi. She's Kartiki Devi. Urja Brata, Urja Mas. Urja Mas is this month, October, November, Kartik. And Rupa Goswami Pad says in Stavamala, she is the Adishtatri Devi, she is the Kartiki Devi, she is the goddess of Kartik, Urjeshwari. Rupa Goswami says, Urjeshwari Radha. The Urja Brat. The Vaishnavas, they gather in Vrindavan to perform, observe the Urja Brat. That Brata to attain the mercy of Urjeshwari, not Krishna. Radharani, or Jayashri Radha. So we are assembled here in Radhakund, and we are engaged in various services and chanting and remembering and hearing to please Srimati Radhika with the ambition of becoming her maidservant. So Krishna was pleased with the attempts of the Kanyakumaris, rising early at sunrise and bathing, and chanting so many prayers and taking advantage of Yoga Maya. So that means the way to Krishna is to through the devotees. We worship the devotees to attain Krishna. Even the Kanyakumaris, they understood we should worship Yoga Maya. We can't just worship Krishna. Even they're teaching that. They're sadhana siddhas. Sadhana siddhas, they're in Vrindavan. Krishna's in Boma Vrindavan, Prakat Vrindavan. But they understood we must worship the devotee, Katyayini Devi, Yoga Maya, in order to attain the fulfillment of our ambition. So we're also worshipping. We worship our Guru, our Guru Varak, especially Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, Rupa and Rati Manjari. And by worshipping them and praying to them, through their blessings, they may bring the appearance of Radharani on the Purnima. On the last day of our vrat, maybe Radharani will come and give her darshan. Of course, the gopis, the Kanyakumaris, the Braja Kanyas, I could say, they wanted Krishna's darshan, and they attained Krishna's darshan in Purnima by their Mrigashirsha brat, but we're doing Kartik brat, Radha's brat, because we want to have darshan of Radharani on Purnima. So we'll also worship Purnamasi, Yogamaya, who's also here in Radhakund. And we pray that our worship is going through Yoga Maya and Yoga Maya's representative. The guru for the gopis when they were here is Purnamasi Devi. Purnamasi Shakti is Yoga Maya. So they went through the devotee and the Shakti of Yoga Maya to get connected with Krishna. So we're worshiping our gurus. Our gurus are the representative of Purnamasi and Vrindavan. So worshiping our gurus. And the Shakti, the Guru links us up with Yogamaya Shakti. And that Yoga Maya, Daivyesha Gunamayi, that Yoga Maya will bring us to the pastimes and to the darshan, eternal service of Radha and Krishna. Yoga Maya. This is verse 18 of Radharasuta Niti, glorifying Radharani as the personification of seven different oceans. It's one thing to say that the person, as Sally Agarwal, when she was interviewed for Leelamrita about Srila Prabhupada, as soon as she remembered Prabhupada, she started smiling herself. She became very happy because Prabhupada lived in her house in Pennsylvania in the month of September and October or so, sometime. Then he came to New York. He went from Boston to New York, and from New York terminal there, the Port Authority bus terminal, he went to Pennsylvania. He stayed in her house for some time, then he stayed in the YMCA with the other drunks and with drunks and derelicts, homeless people. That's where they stay. Young Men's Christian Association. So Prabhupada was there. Pure devotee was living, sleeping side by side with a bunch of derelicts and homeless drunks. In the daytime, they're on the street sleeping and drinking. But in the night, they're not allowed any room at night, but at night it's too cold. They'll die on the street. So they're given a room in like a flop house, for like a dharmashala type thing. So they provided a room for Prabhupada there. Amazing. So when she described Prabhupada's smile, she said his smile was oceanic. Oceanic. It was so broad. But Radharani, her qualities, seven of her qualities, there's no other word to describe them than saying they're oceanic. Oceanic means unlimited, unfathomable, immeasurable. Vaidagya Sindur Anuraga Rasaika Sindur. Vaidagya Sindur Anuraga Rasaika Sindur. Vatsalya Sindur Atisandra Kripaika Sindhu. Lavanya Sindur Amrita Chabi Rupa Sindhu. Shiradika Spura Tu Meiridi Kaili Sindhu. Radharani is an ocean of Vaidagya, an ocean of Anurag, an ocean of Vatsalya, an ocean of Kripa. Sandra Kripa. Not a diluted ocean, a solidified ocean. Solid, concentrated ocean of mercy. And Lavanya Sindhu. Grace and charm. And Rupa Sindhu, she's an ocean of beautiful nectarian form. And Kali Sindhu, she's an ocean of sporting pastimes, amorous pastimes. A translation by Dagdya Sindhur. Ocean of clever expertise by Dagdi. Anurag Rasaika Sindur. She's an ocean of single-minded, extraordinary love. Vatsalya Sindur. Radharani is an ocean of motherly affection. Prabhudananda Saraswati, he's describing Vrindavan, Vrindavan Mahimamrita, and he often describes Vrindavan as Brindaranya Mata, a Mata. He said, oh, Vrindavan, you're like a mother. And a mother is very compassionate and forgiving to her child. I'm a little bit misbehaved, a little wayward, and a little slow and lazy when it comes to bhakti bhajan. But I've taken shelter of your forest, so please be merciful to me like a mother. Keep me on your lap and nourish me with your constant mercy, and protect me with your loving arms. The trees of Vrindavan are the loving arms of the mother, and the songs of the birds and the waters of the lakes are the nourishment for the soul. So like the mother nourishes the baby with her breast milk, but for the sadhaka, Mother Vrindavan nourishes the devotees with the Harikata. That's the constant stream of Amrit. Tavakatam ritam, Tapta Jivanam. And she nourishes the devotees from Vrindavan with the sound of her birds singing so much lila, and the wind of Vrindavan is full of rasa. She is an ocean of extremely condensed, wholesome mercy, ocean of graceful charms, ocean of nectarine effulgence of sheer beauty, lavanya and rupam. May this Sri Radhika manifest in my heart, Radhika Spuratu, the ocean of amorous past, sportive amorous pastimes, Kali Sindhu. Radharani is an ocean of sportive amorous pastimes. We want this ocean to manifest in our heart. That's a lot of oceans. Seven oceans. That should drown us sufficiently. Samsara Dhavanala Lila Loka. The Samsara Dhavana, the Dhavanala, that forest fire that's burning all of our hearts, raging, scorching heat, raging flames. I think it requires seven oceans to put it out. Radha Rani Ki Jai. So, you can see what's collected over here. She embodies seven oceans. So, Prabhupada Saraswati, in this particular verse, our acharyas say that he's in sadhaka consciousness. He's externally aware. He's aware of the externals of himself, his body, his mind, his soul, his citadel. He's not internally absorbed, seeing the Astakali Leela of Radha and Krishna and serving Radhika in his personal citadel as a Sakhi Mandari, as a Sakhi, basically. Tungavidya Sakhi, he's one of the Ashta Sakhis. So now he's a sadhaka and he's remembering Radharani, that beloved that he serves in his swapna or his dreams or in his sportis visions. And he's reveling and appreciating, who is that Radharani that sometimes grants me a moment to see her and grants me a few moments to serve her in my meditative sporti or vision or visporti? What are guna? These are all the guna mahima. Guna mahima, the glories of Radharani's qualities. And then he's remembering this and he's thinking of Radharani's name, Nam, Rup, Gun, and Leela. And he's praying here, I want a sporti, please give me a vision. And it's said in Kartik that Radharani is freely available, Krishna is freely available. And that's why thousands of people have come here from Bengal, from New Zealand, from Australia, from Russia, from South America, from America, Canada, everywhere. And people live in Delhi and Bombay. Oh, it's so difficult to go to Vrindavan. Smarna, because he's praying for that Sporatu. Sri Radhika Sporatu May Vidi Keli. In my heart, I want to see this. My mind and heart, I want to see this ocean, of these seven oceans that are you, Radharani, and your different leelas. So this is the inner life, the smaran life. This our bhajan, our sadhana has to bring us to this level. We can't do it always forever. Because sometimes I see there's two things going on. One thing is kirtan will bring you to smaran. Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati so much emphasized that. You know, kirtan gives a prabhava for smaran. Because it's purity. Kirtan gives purity. But Part of becoming pure is awakening desire to remember Krishna. We're chanting Hare Krishna, Chaito Darvana Marjana. We're in Anartha Nivritti. We have so many Anarthas. But if we're sincerely practicing Bhakti Bhajan, devotional service, in Anartha Nivritti, with the desire to attain Bhava, then as we practice in that chanting, as our mind becomes pure, we'll awaken a desire that I want to remember Krishna's pastimes. So then, what to do? Oh, you have to do kirtan pravave smarna habe. Kirtane pravave smarna habe. There's some shloka like this. That automatically by doing kirtan, then, yes, if one does shudanam, chant shudanam, automatically the leelas will come. Shudanam and leela are inseparable. If shudanam is there, leela is there. Smarna is there. But until that time, do kirtan. Harinam Kirtan, day and night, Akanda Kirtan. I agree. But But that means no sadhana. Smarana is a sadhana. It's a practice. It's not a perfection. It is a perfection, but it's also a practice. It's a sadhana. Navaveda bhakti, one of them is smarana. So, oh, the smarana begins at bhav. That's, but the nine limbs of devotion are told in the sadhana bhakti chapter of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Not told in the bhava bhakti chapter. Bhava bhakti talks about bhakti ras. And relishing bhakti. So both things are required. But we should not neglect smarana. So no, that'll just come automatically. I just do kirtan. I don't see Rupa Goswami telling that. He's saying these are nine limbs of devotion. We should practice all of them. One limb of devotion will give perfection. Kirtan will give perfection. Harinam Sankirtan will give perfection. Just do that day and night. But it doesn't mean that we can't do the other things. This is the point. Oftentimes what happens is, just do kirtan. Smarana, no, smarana is maya. You hear it? Sometimes they say, smarana is maya, you can't do smarana. But Rupa Goswami didn't say that. It's a sadhana. So when do we do smarana? When a desire, I want to remember Krishna. I want to read a pastime, and I want to try to remember it. I read about Krishna's form, I want to remember his form. Because Krishna talks all about smarana and Gita. He says, Satatam Kirtiyantamam, always chant my name. Why? To prepare for death. Ante Narayana Smriti. He says, ninth chapter, Satatam Kirtiyantamam Yatantas Chadridavrata. One should always chant my name, Satatam Kirtan. But now when he's talking about leaving the body, he's talking about Yam Yam Vapi Smaran Bhavam. And all other shastras, Ante Narayana Smriti. At the end, all the time we're chanting Narayana, Narayana, Narayana. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. At the end we have to remember. We remember by chanting. That's also remembering. But remembering means maybe we can't chant. There's no mouth. There's no lip. But the mind will still be there. The prana will still be there. The atma. So memory. So there should be a balance of practice. So smarnam is the inner life of every serious sadhaka. We must continually practice remembering Radha Krishna's names, forms, qualities, and pastimes within our minds. Hearing, chanting, remembering, shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, these three practices of bhakti sadhana bring one quickly to perfection in Krishna prema. So that means hearing and chanting also. By practicing smarana, a devotee attains direct association with his ishtadev within his mind. Of course, at this stage, we're not qualified to directly enter Radha Krishna's sweet pastimes, Lila Pravesh. Because this facility, this access comes at the level of bhava. One attains sportis, and he's talking about sportis. Visporti and Saksha Darshan, which are different intensities of being with the Lord, they come when one is full of love for the divine couple, Radha Govinda Yugal, at the advanced stages of bhava bhakti and Krishna prema. This is an upasanam, Radha Krishna Smaranam Upasanam, which is so much propagated here, but frankly speaking, hardly anyone can do it because the purity of mind is required. In ISKCON, we especially emphasize kirtan, sankirtan, as the means to come to smaranam. There's different modes here, because here in Radhakund, some acharyas emphasize kirtan as the means to smaran, and some emphasize smaran as a solitary practice, because that's the tradition. Rag Marg is smaranam. But the atmosphere is so disturbed and contaminated with some vibrations, non-devotional vibrations. It's very difficult to do smaran. So now it's kind of a turning point in the history of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. I can see that. With all this radiation and microwaves and cell phone towers everywhere. How to meditate. So then Kirtaniya Sadhari. Try to meditate, but then fall back on kirtan. But as a solitary practice of, as is mentioned here, smarana upasanam, ours is nam upasanam. Nam kirtan upasanam, worship the holy name. That will bring us to perfection. So this phrase is Radhika Spurito Me Riddhi. May Radhika manifest within my heart. That should be our prayer for Kartik. Shri Radhika Spurito Me Riddhi. Oh Radhika, oh Sri Radhika, please manifest in my heart. Please manifest in my heart. In great separation from Radha, Saraswati Pad is praying that Radharani will again be revealed within his heart, because he sees Radharani in his heart time to time. The inner vision, the darshan, it seems almost real, so absorbing and so satisfying. The first level of directly perceiving Radha and Krishna comes at the level of Bhava Bhakti. So there's Spurti, Vispurti, and Saksha Darshan. So at the level of Bhava Bhakti, we have Spurti. It seems so real, the vision, and then by meditating. Oh. I often equate it in our Bhajan Rahasyam class. One's having a dream, and he's seeing something. He's touching, speaking, hearing, smelling in the dream. Then he wakes up. Oh, not there. So a dream is almost something like a spurti. Because dream is in the mind. Spurti is in the mind. As it said, it's described here, the inner vision, the darshan of Radha and Krishna seems almost real. Dream also seems real. We smell in the dream. We see in a dream, we speak in a dream, we hear in a dream, we touch in a dream, we feel in a dream. All five senses are acting in a dream because the mind is the seer. The mind is the doer. We smell fragrances in a dream. So in Spurti, it's something like that, but it's you're conscious. You chanting, and then going to this deep absorption at the level of Bhava. Seems so absorbing and satisfying. This is the first level of directly perceiving Radha and Krishna. For such advanced devotees as Prabhupada Saraswati and others like Raghunath Das, it seems that to them as if Radhika is playing hide and seek with her maidservants. Sometimes Radhika shows the incredible sweetness of her divine form, qualities, and pastimes. And sometimes she withdraws this vision and conceals herself. So this is what's happening here. Succumbing or tolerating the pain of separation, Radha's devotee then takes shelter of seeing her by remembering her extraordinary qualities. In this material universe, one can find seven different oceans. This is told about in this universe. On this planet, we have an ocean of salt water. Is it right? It used to be an ocean of fresh water, which would be a lot better. But what happened? Some Muni got thirsty. So anyway, he drank the ocean. Then you know what happens when you drink. Then later you have to do number one. So then number one went on, and then it came out salt water because the blood is salty and that's the way it is. And that's how we got this, the ocean, salty. But there's seven other oceans. There's an ocean of sweet rice, which Giriraj is swimming in right now. Someone offered him some sweet rice. And there's an ocean of liquor, which I'm sure our truck drivers are going to merge into. All of our Indian truck lorry drivers want to go to the ocean of liquor. And there's an ocean of yogurt for all the health freaks out there. But there won't be any vegans in that ocean, I'm sorry. No vegans allowed. And there's an ocean of milk for those payobrat sadhus, payobrat yogis. Payo means milk. Ocean of milk. An ocean for all those UP-wallas. There's an ocean of sugarcane juice. And all the liver patients of the world, they can merge into the ocean of sugarcane juice and keep their livers in good shape. That's about it. And then there's an ocean of, then there's the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which we're endeavoring to enter. We come to the shore, now we just have to jump in. So those seven oceans are there in the universe, but within Radharani's form are seven oceans of these rustic oceans of different aspects of her glories, her cleverness and her love and her affection, her mercy, her charm, effulgence, and beauty. They're all oceanic in Radharani. sometimes with the unlimited sweet transcendental form, I mean, with similarly, within the unlimited sweet transcendental form of Sri Radha, one can find seven divine oceans, each one glorifying and embodying one of Radhika's 25 wonderful qualities. Oh, that's interesting. We list it in the back. And this, of course, is Guna Mahima. So Radharani's qualities are summarized as 25 by Rupa Goswami. And these particular ones can be found within the category of those 25 qualities, these seven oceans that are listed. Radha exhibits seven oceans, beginning with an ocean of cleverness, anurag, compassion, natural beauty, form, and pastimes. Now let us submerge our minds and hearts. Well, that's nice. Now let us submerge our minds and hearts in these seven oceans of Srimati Radharani, which represent her guna mahima, by hearing about each one of them. So first ocean. So everyone knows how to swim? Everyone knows swimming? No. Well, you can swim, float, or drown. Either way, it's successful. Maybe drowning is better. You get more taste. It's drowning in a figurative way, not a literal way. Magana to submerge. She's an ocean of clever expertise. She always displays in her expression of the 64 different arts. Another name of Radha is Kalavati. And Krishna's name is Kalanidhi. Kalavati Sri Radha and Kalanidhi Sri Krishna Ki Jai. What is the difference between Kalavati Radha and Kalanidhi Krishna? Kalanidhi means that Krishna is an ocean, nidhi, or treasure house. Nidhi means treasure house, or gem, or treasure. Of all the arts, such as singing, dancing, speaking, and dressing, cooking, painting, etc. And the analogy, Kalanidhi Krishna is like an owner. He's like an owner of a musical instrument store. So, Nidhi means treasure house, storehouse. So here's the analogy. There's a music store. You know music store? Inside the music store, there's tablas, there's sitar, sarod, swara mandala, and trumpets and saxophones and all kinds of things, instruments. Triangles, bells, gongs, flutes, panpipes, bugles, trumpets, tambours, kartals, a lot of things here. It's a very big music store. Tambouras, veenas, guitars and drums, and so on, it says, if that's not enough. And an owner of a musical instrument store has many instruments for sale, but he doesn't even know how to play one of them. Radha is, so that's Kalanidhi. Kalanidhi means Kala Kshetra or something like that. So that means a school of arts, an academy of arts, a Kala Kshetra, a school or academy of arts. So he's Kalanidhi. He's a treasure house of all these arts. So that's the music store. So that's Kalanidhi. Kalanidhi. He has all this treasure. So Radharani is called Kalavati because she's expert in displaying all these 64 arts. So imagine a Sangeet Visharad, an expert virtuoso on music, goes into the music store. Oh, you have tablas. Let me see. Oh, these are nice. Tabla plays expertly. Then he picks up the veena. Veena, expertly. Picks up the violin expertly. So he can play all the instruments perfectly. And the owner of the music store says, oh, this is amazing. You know all the kalas? So this is Radharani. She's amazing. Krishna has in his storehouse so many instruments, so many qualities, but he can't really display them as sweetly, as charmingly, as beautifully and perfectly as Radharani. So he's amazed. I am Kalanidhi. I own all these musical instruments. It's my music store. But you can really play them. You can really display the true merit of these. I have these instruments, but I can't show their real value because I can't play them. How beautiful is the veena? How sweet is the tabla? How exciting are the kartals? I can't show you the inherent qualities of these instruments, the inherent beauty of these instruments. So similarly, Krishna has all these wonderful gunas and qualities, but only Radharani can make them sing. Only Radharani can make them sing and vibrate in so many beautiful, attractive, charming ways. So Krishna's awestruck. Oh, I am Kalanidhi. She is Kalavati Radha. She teaches me the art of dance. She teaches me the art of singing. She teaches me the art of music. This is my Kalavati Radha. Radha is called Kalavati because she's expert at displaying all the 64 arts. Kalanidhi is the proprietor of the music store. But Kalavati Radha knows how to expertly and perfectly play each and every musical instrument in Krishna's storehouse. Kalavati Radha ki jai. Usually, a person will acquire a proficiency in a particular art like dancing, for example, by learning from another person who is expert in the dancing art. Then he becomes Natya Visharad, very expert in Natya or dancing. But the most amazing thing about Srimati Radharani is that she automatically knows perfectly well all the 64 arts. She never learned from anyone. She's self-taught. She's, in fact, she, Radhika, is the original teacher or the acharya for everyone else and every other Sakya Mandri and even Krishna himself. She is original teacher, acharya for everyone else. Sri Krishna admits this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because all the arts, the greatest, all the arts are contained in one art. The art of love. The art of loving. There was one book called The Art of Loving. The art of love, prema. So Radharani, she is prema, premavati. She is the abode of prema. Prema shraya. Mahabhava prema shraya. Mahabhava shraya radha. So therefore, because she attains prema, every music, singing, painting, everything is contained. Because everything, all these 64 arts are simply 64 expressions of prema. 64 expression. I will paint to express my love. I will dance to express my love. I will sing to express my love. I will dye clothes to express my love. I will hide something. And we'll hear about those 64 arts listed in the Gayatri Mahima book. We'll read to them tomorrow. The Sakya Mandris are expert and proficient in all these 64 arts. Just to hear them, it's amazing. To hear how charming and witty and talented and Vaidagya, because it's Vaidagya Sindhur. She's Vaidagya. She's so clever in all these arts. That's the main point. She's Vaidagya Sindhur. She's notion of cleverness and expertise and 64 arts. So that's why she's Kalavati. We're stressing on Kalavati, but this is an expansion of Vaidagya Radha. Krishna is telling in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Radhikara Prema Guru Ami Shishyanat Sarama Nana Nritte Nachaye Udbat. Radhika's love is the teacher. Radhikara Prema Guru. Radhika's prema is my guru. And that prema is, I'm a shishya. Not. I am her shishya. Am I just sitting there passively? Yes, tell me, sitting in the classroom, taking notes from Radharani. Radharani says, yes, now listen, Krishna, sit down, I'll teach you bhakti tattva. I'll teach you rasa tattva. I'll teach you prema tattva, braja tattva. Listen, you get your notebook. Right. He's not a passive student. He's dancing. Ami shishyanat. Ami shishyanat. Radhikara prema guru ami shishyanat. Sada amanana nritya nache udbhat. And I am her dancing student. I'm not dancing with my notebook. Palm top. Get a palm top. Where they go? Palm top. Dancing. Yes, Radharani, what's that lesson? I have to type in the lessons on my palm top. Yes. Take my palm top to the Rasalila. No. He's just dancing. The prema itself is teaching. I'm her dancing student. Radha's love makes me perform various wonderful dances. In other words, Sri Radha is Rasa Panditya, a pandit scholar in the science of loving mellows. Radharani is Rasa Panditya. a learned, a pundit or a scholar in the science of loving mellows. So we'll continue there tomorrow. But hopefully, by the mercy of Radharani. Radharat Sudanidhi Ki.